أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين. الحمد لله الذي من علينا بمحمد صلى الله عليه وآله وسلم. وبأهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين. أما بعد، قال الله تعالى في كتابه الكريم، بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم: يا أيها المزمل قم الليل إلا قليلا، نصفه أو انقص منه قليلا، أو زد عليه ورتل القرآن ترتيلا. The subject that inshallah we'll be discussing at the onset tonight pertains to the human potentials which protrude to infinity. It is important for the human being to realize how powerful he is and why he is known as Ashraful Makhluqat. لَقَدْ خَلَقْنَا الْإِنسَانَ فِي أَحْسَنِ التَّقْوِيمِ. Verily, we created the human being in the best structure. ثُمَّ رَدَدْنَاهُ أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. And thereafter we reduced him to the lowest of the low. أَسْفَلَ سَافِلِينَ. The word dunya is known as the lowest, the literal definition of dunya. We tend to say that dunya means world, but dunya literally doesn't mean world, it means the lowest. Alright? Akhirah means the hereafter and what is beyond, if you go and see the literal definition of akhirah. Today we are going to try to establish that the human being has potentials that protrude towards infinity. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the Holy Quran in Surah Al-Inshiqaq says, Ya ayyuhal insan, O human being. Therefore, whether you are a kafir or a munafiq or whoever you are, O human being. If you are a human being, I'm addressing it to you. يا أيها الإنسان إنك كادح إلى ربك كدحا. Surely you are struggling towards your Lord laboriously. إنك كادح إلى ربك كدحا فملاقيه. And you shall meet him. Now the first question that arises here, that how can Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala address every human being and say, O human being, you are struggling towards your Lord laboriously. Because the kafir says, I don't have a God or Lord. But here Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, O human being, إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا. Not only are you struggling to go towards your Lord, but كَدْحًا, that means laboriously, فَمُلَاقِيهِ, and you shall meet him. The beauty of this statement is such that, you know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the word مُلَاقِيهِ, that means that, O human being, the way you are struggling to meet me, I also would like to meet you. Because mulaqat means a bilateral kind of coming together. Sometimes I go to the beloved, sometimes the beloved comes to me and I go to the beloved at the same time. This is known as mulaqat. So the way I am struggling or we are struggling to Allah, Allah also wants us to come near Him. So He also tries to enable us to come near Him. Now, the question that arises that if this is addressed to every human being, then why the kafir, munafiq and other people, they don't say that we have God or they don't say that we are struggling to, for example, pray and come near Him. What is the reason? What is the answer to that? Great ulama have discussed about this subject very extensively. One of them is Imam Khomeini in his book Jahil Hadith in the chapter of Al-Fitrah. In this chapter he gives us a glimpse of this reality that is talked about in this verse. The human being has some inclinations. For example, one of the inclinations that he has is that he naturally aspires to seek knowledge. Now this is a natural inclination in the human being. He naturally wants to seek knowledge. No one will tell him that, you know, because the Quran is saying, or the Hadith is saying, or this book is saying, or that book is saying. No. Innately he would like to know. And he would like to know the reality. That means not partially. He doesn't want to know the entity or whatever, the object of knowledge partially, but he wants to know it wholly. Absolute knowledge he would like. And therefore, it is such that he would aspire to seek more and more knowledge of that entity. But the human being, if I ask you a question that what knowledge would you like to acquire? Someone will say that I would like to be a pilot, for example. Someone would say I would like to be a physician, and so on. But if I tell that person who would like to be a physician that would you like to be a pilot as well, he would say no. Why? Because I don't have that potential of doing two things at the same time. I don't have the potential of specializing myself in two, three fields at the same time. That's what his answer would be. But let's say if he had extreme potential to work on three specializations, he would say, I would go for three specializations. If it would be four, he would say, I would go for four. Because he wants to acquire everything. Even the knowledge of music, if a person says that, no, I don't want to learn music, then he is lying himself. Because everybody would like to know what sound has what effect in the mind. Allama Tabatabai's brother, Ayatullah Hasan Ilahi Tabatabai, wrote a book on music. He was a great arif, great Gnostic of his time. He wrote a book on music, that what sound of music affects in the mind how, in what way, and so on. And before he died, obviously he confiscated the book, because he came to realize that this, they would take undue advantage of what I have written. You see, because, you see, even in the West, in some of the supermarkets, there is a background music which is sold for millions sometimes. Why? Because that background music is that which attracts the customers. You want to only go to buy butter, but when you come out, you buy so many things at the same time. Why? Because of that background music. They know the psychology of a person who goes and buys, and how can we attract. And this music, they really they take trouble to get such a output so that they can sell it, and this is the output of the reality that, you know, people when they go to the supermarket, they can buy so many things, although they want only, for example, a butter, let's say, or something small. This is because of that music. So music itself is an art. Even our scholars, Shia scholars, if you look at Az-Zari'a is a very powerful, a beautiful book, comprehensive book that has information on what our Shia scholars wrote. For example, how many books on Ziyarat Ashura has been written up to now? How many books on the tafsir of Suratul Hamd has been written now? And so on. So you find that there are books of music also. Our scholars worked on music also and found what sound has what effects. Therefore, what I'm trying to inform ourselves here is that we innately aspire for every kind of knowledge whatsoever, number one. But we don't have the potential of doing it. Because if we go and engross ourselves into one, we can't concentrate on the other. And if we go deep down on one, we can't go to the other. But let's say if you have the potential of doing so many things at the same time, لَا يَشْغُلُهُمْ شَأْنٌ عَنْ شَأْنٌ The أَئِمَّ عَلَيْهِمْ أَفْضَلُ الصَّلَوَاتِ الْمُسَلِّينَ At the time they reach a station whereby one thing does not preoccupy them from the other. How? See, when you go to, for example, when you go to visit Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam, Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. One person has his own problem, he's trying to explain Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam. The other is explaining his own problem. The other is crying from the top of his building, Ya Imam al-Ridha, looking at the tomb. The other is crying from, for example, Kenya, the other from Dubai. You think Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam does not attend each one? He does. But la yashghuluhum sha'nun an sha'n. It's not that, you know, a person takes all the information and then says, Ya Imam, Number one, this person from Nairobi. Number two, this from Dubai. No! At the same time, لا يشغلهم شأن عن شأن. This is the reality of the Aimma alayhim salam. They have got that high status. So they are the manifestation of this attribute of Allah, that the way Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, لا يشغله شأن عن شأن, they being limited manifestations. They are not like Allah, obviously. They are the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So they have this potential. Now, for them, that is why you will find that the 12th Imam, when he'll come, he would know the nihayat, the extreme, the intense, the absolute knowledge of science, for example, which we cannot comprehend. Why? Because he has that power, bi-iznillah azza wa jal. Anyway, so we have the potential, or we have the inclination for gaining absolute knowledge and infinite knowledge. We don't want, if there is some more knowledge somewhere else and we have the ability to catch it, we would go there because we are inclined to that. Now this is one potential in every human being. You will not say that a munafiq doesn't have, a munafiq also has that. A kafir also has that. Everybody, if you are a human being, you have that inclination. This is inclination number one. Then we have inclination number two, and that is power. If you get power, and you know that you can attain more power, you will seek that power also. Obviously, in the good way, not in the bad way. But with regard to other people, like those who are unbelievers, they would even take undue advantage and gain the power from unlawful means also. The more power you get, the more you want. You become the president of one country, you also would like to become president of two countries, if you have the power, if you have the ability. Imam Khomeini in his book says that, let us say the whole world was captured by one person, and he knew that there is another world there. He would say that, even that I would like. Because this is innate, you would like more and more power. The reality is that all of us are after infinite power. Right? This is inclination number two. Inclination number three is the innate love for beauty, which is manifested in different forms. Let's say if you are interested in a very beautiful painting, and then thereafter you are shown a better painting than that, you would say, no, that I would like that, not that, this is more beautiful. And you would be shown another painting afterwards, which is even more beautiful. You would say that, no, this one, not that one. And this will continue because you are after the most beautiful. Not only that, but sometimes we have various kinds of beauty. For example, one picture is very beautiful, but it has another kind of beauty. And the other picture has another kind of beauty. So you would like all kinds of beauty at the same time. In reality, the human being is after absolute beauty. That beauty which has no imperfection whatsoever, because the reality of beauty is that which does not have any kind of imperfection whatsoever, and it is naturally pleasant to the person who is comprehending that beauty. Now this is the third inclination that the human being has. The fourth inclination that the human being has is that he would like to stay on and live perpetually and eternally. You ask anybody that, would you like to be vanquished? You would say, no, I don't want to be vanquished. Vanquished meaning that completely vanquished, not that upon death you go to another realm, that is barzakh, no. Vanquished completely, you would say, no, I would like to stay forever. The reason why people do suicide and other things, and they say, no, I didn't want to be created, is because of the problems of their lives that they are facing. If these problems and these impediments come out from their life, they would come and say that, no, in reality, I would like to stay for as long as I can, and I would like to stay perpetually, eternally. Now, if you analyze all these inclinations, you find that all these inclinations lead, and the reality of all these inclinations is Allah. Because infinite knowledge is Allah. Infinite beauty is Allah. Infinite power is Allah. Eternal life is Allah. So, يَا أَيُّهَا الْإِنسَانِ إِنَّكَ كَادِحٌ إِلَىٰ رَبِّكَ كَدْحًا فَمُلَاقِي. So the human being innately aspires to get close to Allah. But those people who don't realize that these inclinations are taking them to Allah, they try to earn power, earn beauty, earn knowledge in whatever means they can. That is why you find that those people, those superpowers, they would like to have more and more power day by day. Why? Because that is an innate inclination in the human being. The human being aspires to become Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Although he can never become Allah, because Allah is not an entity to become. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala was, is, and will ever be. Why? Because he was not created. So he does not need a cause to be, so he will always be. With regard to this, you can't say that, you know, a person changes into that state. It's impossible. So, this is the reality of the human being. And you know, these are the things that are mentioned in Dua As-Sahar. If you look at the Dua As-Sahar of the holy month of Ramadan, especially that which is known as Dua Al-Mubahala also, which is narrated from Imam Al-Baqir, salawatullahi wa salamahu alayhi. Where we say, Allahumma inni as'aluka min izzatika allati, Allahumma inni as'aluka min izzatika bi'a'azziha ilayk, wa kullu izzatika aziza. Oh Allah, izza means that power which is invincible, that can never be overpowered. So you say, oh Allah, I want that izza of yours, which is the most aziz, most invincible. And every power of yours is aziz. Every izza of yours is aziz. And you say, Allahumma inni as'aluka bi'izzatika kulliha. That means I am asking you for that izza by your izza in totality. That means that you are asking for Allah's izza, isn't it? You want that kind of invincibility in you. Or for example, beauty, when you say, Allahumma inni as'aluka min jamalika bi ajmalihi wa kullu jamalika jameel. Allahumma inni as'aluka bi jamalika kulli. Here also you are asking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that beauty in its entirety. And for example, knowledge also. Allahumma inni as'aluka min ilmika bi anfadihi wa kullu ilmika nafidh. Allahumma inni as'aluka bi ilmika kulli. Again, we are asking for that ilm which is extremely penetrating and absolute knowledge. And that is of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Obviously, when we are asking that, we want more and more perfection in these kinds of realities, these kinds of attributes. I only mentioned 4 attributes. There are many other attributes that a person can mention, that a person is inclined to, and he naturally wants to attain them. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can give these attributes to him. Recite the salawat, please. Now, this was just a preamble, and this was something that we should realize, that you know, in the holy month of Ramadan, these du'as that we are reciting is not only asking for, you know, good money and good hurul ains and all these things, but also asking for a humanly inclination that the human being naturally aspires. We should try to be human beings in this holy month of Ramadan while we are trying to do du'a and saying, oh Allah, make us realize ourselves. We have a greater potential than what we are seeking every day. Oh Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if we can reach a certain station, we would be very thankful. What is important in the path to Allah, as we said, you know, the 3 stations of tajliya, takhliya and tahliya that we have already discussed, is that the first spark of wakefulness comes in your heart. That spark of wakefulness which is known as yaqza. If that yaqza does not come, then you cannot start the journey. Yaqza is a state of wakefulness. It is now Allah who wakes you up. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala makes it in such a way that you leave all your past and change totally and transform yourself completely. That is what known as yaqza. In the life, in the past history, we find that some of the great people had yaqza last moment. For example, Zuhair bin Qain was a very powerful soldier in the plains of Karbala. And it is said that what happened is that while he left Makkah to go towards Kufa, Imam Hussein alayhi salam had the same journey that he was having from Makkah towards Kufa. And Zuhair would follow the 3rd caliph. He was of that kind of mindset that the third caliph is correct and therefore, you know, we should abstain from being near Imam Hussein alayhi salam. But Imam knew that Zuhair had a clean heart. He just needed one spark. But I'll do that at the right moment. And as they were going towards Kufa, Zuhair's group would always be where Imam's group would not be. So if the Imam would leave, Zuhair's group would put their camp there. And whenever the Imam would stop at a place, Zuhair's camp would leave. Because Zuhair did not want to come at the same time with the Imam and be encamped at the same time. This is what is narrated. It so happens that at a certain junction, they know that after this junction, it is very far to have water at the next junction. So, both of the groups had to be at that place. The Imam obviously wanted to be in that place because the Imam didn't have any kind of rancor. Imam, rahmatullahi al-wasi'a, he is trying to spread his wings everywhere. Wherever he catches, he'll get. He gets hur, he takes him. He gets anybody who at last moment can change, he takes him. This is known as rahmatullahi al-wasi'a. So he is encamped at one place and Zuhair is encamped in another place with his army. And they start eating, he said, lunch time or dinner time, whatever. Suddenly, one of the men of Imam Hussein alayhi salam comes to Zuhair's camp, and addressing Zuhair, who was eating at that time, says, "Ya Zuhair, Imam is calling you. Imam Hussein alayhi salam is calling you." It was shocking to Zuhair. They were, you know, in that state of perplexity and amazement. Zuhair did not even put that morsel in his mouth, and he was just amazed like that. This is where the woman shows her beauty, really. Zuhair's wife says, "What are you wasting time for? Imam Hussein is calling you and you are just thinking whether to go or not. Stand up and go, Zuhair." And Zuhair is shaken and he goes to the camps of Imam. It is said that after a very little period, a very small period, Zuhair comes out and says that I have resolved to be with Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam and to be martyred with Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. I am ready for everything. Within only about 15 to 20 minutes, a small period as history tells. The reason is that this spark of yaqza was implanted on Zuhair because he was ready at that time. This is where that yaqza comes, that wakefulness comes, and the person realizes that what I have been doing in the past was wrong. This was one example. Another example is that of Hur bin Yazid al-Riyahi, who stopped Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam. But when Imam Hussein alayhi salam told him, "Sakalatka ummuk, may your mother weep over you," he kept quiet. He said that, "I cannot talk anything about your mother Fatima. I cannot do that because I know she has a very powerful and exalted status." It is said historically that it is because of that haya that he had, it saved him. That last moment, Hur came to such a station that he said, "I'm going to give my life, and even my son will give his life." He had completely transformed himself. This is also the state of yaqza, that wakefulness, which now is implanted by the Imam, and the Imam can do that. Why? Because he has got the authority from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And that is why it is very important, you know, when we recite this dua at-tawassul, and we say, "Ya wajihan, inda Allah, ishfa' lana inda Allah." We are not talking about shafa'at of the Day of Judgment. We are talking about now. The reality of shafa'a is not that on the Day of Judgment there is going to be a party. Okay, those who are lovers of Imam, come here. You have these many sins, okay, go to heaven, no problem, because you are a lover of Imam. No, the shafa'a transpires in this world, its manifestation is in the hereafter. So, it's here that a person thinks about it, about his situation, changes himself. And when he changes because of knowing who Imam al-Hussein alayhi salam is, and changes and transforms himself, on the Day of Judgment, he sees himself in a good position. And he realizes that it was because of the shafa'a of Imam Hussein alayhi salam that he became where he became. For all of us, yaqza is possible. Obviously, yaqza is not that state of just conceptual knowledge, because many of us know conceptually that, you know, what is to be done. We should wake up, we should go towards Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yaqza is a state of transformation. It motivates you in such a way that it takes you out, it divorces you from this world. It makes you prepared for tawbah. When you say, Astaghfirullah Rabbi wa atubu ilayhi, you say, oh Allah, I'm now literally coming. I'm leaving the past. I'm leaving my bad habits. The word tawbah, as I said, comes from the word awbah. And awbah means to go to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this is the month that we should do that. We should pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Laylatul Qadr should be that Laylatul Barq. That is that spark from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. If that is not achieved, then the holy month of Ramadan is wasted. Literally. All these beautiful days, beautiful nights, beautiful hours that we have at our disposal. Let's try to ponder and contemplate. Let's try to do the tawassul of Imam al-Husayn alayhi salam. Allahumma salli ala Muhammad. There is a very beautiful hadith that perhaps would awaken us up, and it would awake us up, and it would make us do the needful in these nights. Imam al-Sadiq alayhi salam is reported to have said, he says, كَانَ فِي مَا نَاجَى اللَّهُ عَزَّ وَجَلَّ بِهِ مُوسَى. See, as I told you that sometimes it is Allah who does munajat. That means there is a reciprocal kind of conversation. That's what Nabi Musa would enjoy so much. Because Nabi Musa was so humble near Allah that Allah said, this is my Naji, this is the person that I'm going to converse with and do munajat with. So one of the munajat that Allah does with Prophet Musa, that secret whispering, is, he says, Yabna Imran, O son of Imran, كَذَبَ مَنْ زَعْمَ أَنَّهُ يُحِبُّنِي. Liar is that person who thinks that he loves me. فَإِذَا جَنَّهُ اللَّيْلِ نَامَ عَنِّي. And when night transpires, he sleeps from me. أَلَيْسَ كُلُّ مُحِبٌّ يُحِبُّ خَلْوَةَ حَبِيبِهِ. Doesn't every lover love to be isolated with his beloved? Ha anadha yabna Imran muttali'un ala ahibba'i. O son of Imran, I know my lovers. Idha jannahumul layl hawwaltu absarahum min qulubihim. When night transpires, I wake them up. وَمَثَّلْتُ عُقُوبَةِ بَيْنَ أَعْيُنِهِمْ. And I make them remember my punishment on the Day of Judgment. يُخَاتِبُونِي عَنِ الْمُشَاهَدَةِ. They try to speak to me and converse to me while they vision the reality. So this is the reality that we should try to recite Salatul Layl in these nights so that we can wake up, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala enables us to wake up from our slumber and go and start our tawbah, and slowly and gradually we get that proximity of Allah. Because there is a lot of rhetoric about that. But when it comes to action, we'll say that inshallah we'll do it. Inshallah we'll do it. Tonight should be that spark that should start. Tonight should be that opportunity. Because it's Thursday night. It's Laylatul Jumu'ah. This is when the A'imma alayhim salam get the ilm. This is when, if you recite salawat, you also get a lot of knowledge and a lot of benefit from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the more you recite, the more dua you recite, the more dhikr you recite, tonight you will get a lot of benefit from it. Recite the salawat, please. Ibrahim bin Abu Mahmud narrates from Imam al-Ridha alayhi salam. He says, إِنَّ يَوْمَ الْحُسَيْنِ أَقْرَحَ جُفُونَنَا وَأَسْبَلَ دُمُوعَنَا وَأَذَلَّ عَزِيزَنَا. Surely the day of Al-Husayn wounded our eyes and made our tears pour down and dishonored our venerated ones. بِأَرْضِ كَرْبٍ وَبَلَاءٍ. In the land of sorrow and tribulation. وَأَوْرَثَتْنَا الْكَرْبُ وَالْبَلَاءِ إِلَى يَوْمِ الْإِنْقِضَاءِ. And thereby made us inherit sorrow and calamity until the final day. فَعَلَى مِثْلِ الْحُسَيْنِ فَلْيَبْكِ الْبَاكُونَ. For surely, for the likes of Al-Husayn, weeping over him wipes out major sins. And Imam Al-Mahdi, عَجِّلَ اللَّهُ فَرَجَهُ الشَّرِيفِ, in Ziyaratul Nahiya, he recites this, which is very interesting. He says, فَلَئِنْ أَخَّرْتَنِيَ الدُّهُورِ وَعَاقَنِي عَنْ نَصْرِكَ الْمَقْدُورِ وَلَمْ أَكُنْ لِمَنْ حَارَبَكَ مُحَارِبًا وَلِمَنْ نَصَبَ لَكَ الْعَدَاوَةُ مُنَاصِبًا فَلَأَنْدُبَنَّكَ صَبَاحًا وَمَسَاءً وَلَأَبْكِيَنَّ عَلَيْكَ بَدَلَ الدُّمُوعِ دَمًا حَسْرَةً عَلَيْكَ وَتَأَسُّفًا عَلَى مَا دَهَاكَ وتلهفا حتى أموت بلوعة المصاب وغصة الكتاب. But as I have been hindered by the course of time, and as Allah's decree has prevented me from helping you, and as I could not fight those who fought you, and was not able to show hostility to those who showed hostility to you, I will therefore lament you morning and evening, and will weep blood in place of tears, out of my anguish for you and out of my sorrow for all that befell you, until I meet death from the pain of the catastrophe and the choking grief. Now this is very interesting, that this statement that the 12th Imam makes, that you know, I'm going to weep for you blood instead of tears. One of those who was a companion of the Ayatollah Sayyid Muhammad Baqir al Hakim, Ayatollah Sayyid Muhsin al-Hakim, he was a companion of him, and he would always be with him. He narrates something very interesting. He said somebody came to him and recited this same verse of Ziyaratul Nahiya, and said, in reality the 12th Imam cries blood instead of tears. What does this mean? He was trying to say that perhaps this is something which is just metaphoric, this is not in reality. Ayatollah Muhsin al-Hakim had a handkerchief in his hand, and he started crying. When he started crying and put away the handkerchief, there were spots of blood there, showing that, you know, this is how I am crying. What about the 12th Holy Imam, Ajjalallahu Farajahu Sharif? This is a reality. We do not know the musiba of Imam Al-Husayn alayhi salam. Assalamu alayka ya Aba Abdullah wa ala al-arwah allati halat bi fina'ik. عليكم مني سلام الله أبدا ما بقيت وبقي الليل والنهار ولا جعله الله آخر العهد مني لزيارتكم. السلام على الحسين وعلى علي بن الحسين وعلى أولاد الحسين وعلى أصحاب الحسين.